This podcast of the Pat Campbell Show is powered by the law offices of John M. Dunn. This is Tulsa's home for the latest local news, local weather, and local traffic. This is the Pat Campbell Show on Talk Radio 1170.
904, Talk Radio 1170, where Tulsa comes to talk. Thanks for tuning in to the Pat Campbell Show. My name is Casey Bartholomew. I am sitting in today. I'll be with you until 10 o'clock. Stick around after the news at 10. Jeremy Poplin will be on. Give me a call, 918-879-1170. That's 918-879-1170. On the line right now, Representative Mark Wayne Mullen. If you see some of the pictures of the barricaded door within the Capitol and the Capitol police officers with their guns drawn pointing out, there's one guy standing there in a white shirt. That would be one of your representatives. That would be Mark Wayne Mullen standing right there trying to keep the bad guys out. Representative Mullen, thanks for taking the time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Casey. I didn't think I'd be on 2 days in a row, but good to be back on your show this quick.
Well, considering everything that went down yesterday, like I said, it was funny. I was watching TV last night with my wife, who was just practically in tears after she saw what happened yesterday.
Yeah. And it was a very, very disturbing, dark day for us and its country.
Yeah, but we were watching the TV, and I said, "See that guy? That's the guy I talked to this morning. That's Representative Mullen right there." And she goes, "Oh my God!" Tell us what happened. Where were you when it all went down, and how quick did it get bad?
It escalated really quick. We were on the floor debating Arizona on the Electoral College, and I started hearing a lot of people's radios go off. And I figured something was wrong, and then a lot of people's their phones started dinging, and pictures that people were posting to Twitter and everything else started coming on about them coming into the Capitol. And it wasn't too long after that you could hear voices getting louder coming towards the House chamber. The Capitol Police came running in. The first thing they did, they came running in, they grabbed the speaker and ran her out the door. But then they came in and they locked everybody down in the chamber, and they gave an order that actually, no disrespect to who gave the order, but it was the wrong thing to do. And in those situations, a lot of people have never been in those situations, and unfortunately, I have been in those situations, but not on U.S. soil. And immediately, it was obvious that the mob was a lot bigger than the people we had in our chamber that was law enforcement. And now law enforcement jumped up. They had told everybody if they breached the door to lay down, You don't do that. Not with a mob. The worst thing you can do is lay down. That's the worst thing you can do. You get trampled, and sometimes that is what causes more injuries than anything else, than the violence itself. And I said absolutely not. And I stood up and I said, "Listen, guys, if this door gets breached, everybody heads out that door and you go down the stairs." And the lieutenant and I talked right after that, and he came over and asked me who I was, and I had explained to him a little bit more about my background, which I don't ever share. I don't ever talk about my other background. It's not on online. It's something I just don't discuss. Mm-hmm. And we had a quick conversation, quick good conversation. But then we went back to the problem at hand. The problem at hand was at the door now. They were hitting the door. And when they hit the door, people got pretty excited pretty quick. We made the decision really quick to grab a desk. I ran over and grabbed a desk, and I told someone else to grab it with me. We brought it over, put it in front of the door, put another chair on top of the door, and about that time they broke the glass. When they broke the glass, at first, all of us thought it was gunshots. In fact, there's one picture of me where it shows that I'm jumping behind a chair. That chair, by the way, they're bulletproof. I jumped behind the chair because we thought shots were fired. When we realized shots weren't fired is when, I started hollering, those aren't shots. Yeah. Because at that time, all the Capitol Police, they came you can see them, they had their guns drawn, and they were yelling, and they were about ready to shoot through the door, and I started hollering, "Those aren't shots, don't shoot. Mm-hmm. I started having a conversation with the protesters at that time, they're not protesters, these are rioters, these were antagonizers, and I started having a conversation with them at that time, and I said, is this worth it, you almost died, is this worth it, and they actually quit at that time beating on the door, until another agitator came back up to the front, and he started yelling. And I tell you what, a guy that's not getting a lot of credit, if you look in the pictures, there's a guy in a blue shirt. His name's Troy Nels. He's a newly elected member. He's a sheriff from down in the Houston area. And as soon as I jumped into action, he did too. When I took off my jacket and took off my tie, he was ready to do the same thing, because there was a lot more of them than there was us, and there was no way Capitol Police was going to do it. And the whole point, we knew we wasn't going to stop the crowd. It was a point of, or the mob. Yep. The whole point was to slow them down. And that, those Capitol Police, that they were willing to put themselves there, and they did put themselves in harm's way for us, but their families aren't any more important than mine. And I knew that, and I knew I could be an asset, and we wanted to help, and so did Troy Nels. And so the real heroes here are the Capitol Police, because when this thing was all over, Casey, well, not when it was all over, when we finally got all the members and all the staff off the floors, when I left and Troy left with me, I went immediately down to the triage center, it was at that time, it was in the basement of the Rayburn House office building. And I'll tell you, I hadn't seen a triage center like that since the last time I was overseas and was working at one of our FOBs. Wow. And it was amazing. It's something I would have never thought I would have ever saw. Once again, definitely not in the U.S. Capitol, but probably not even on U.S. soil. And I went and I talked to every one of the men and women that were there, because there was a lot of injuries. And I would say there was 25, I'd say there was 50, I don't know. But I shook every one of their hands, and one young man was holding his, literally, I don't mean to be too graphic, but he was literally holding his eyeball against his head. His eyeball had got knocked out of his socket.
Oh,
there was guys with their nose broke, and young women, the officers that had got their head hit by objects and their head was busted open. There was guys with their eyes lids cut open, where they had been poked or hit with some objects, where it was obvious it looked like they were going straight for these officers' faces. There was some broken bones. A guy had got in a tussle with one of them. He'd rode down the Capitol steps and he had broke his arm. And I asked every one of them, I'd ask them all the same, just like I would if I was at a FOB. And I said, what's your name? What's your name, man? What's your name, sir? How old are you? You got a wife? You got kids? And then I asked them what happened. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to me, and this is something the news isn't reporting, but I've said in almost all my interviews, it was interesting to me because this is what they told me. They said, this was different. This group broke away from the protest. This was different. They broke away from the protest. This is what I heard over and over again. These aren't my words. These are the officers' words that I heard over and over again. They said they had evil in their eyes. They had evil intent. And the word evil struck me, because I was talking to them separately. They were in some of them were in groups. Because it was a triage center. This wasn't made to hold this many patients at once. This is something they threw up very center or very fast. Some were in separate rooms. But I heard that comment at least a half dozen times. And I tell you this, as I said, the real heroes are those guys. Those guys were willing to make sure that I got home to my family before they did, and I guarantee you their family loves them as much as my family loves me.
Yeah. You know, I heard you tell the story, and it's pretty much word for word from what I heard earlier. And, you know, one thing you said last night, you were being interviewed on, I think it was News on 6, and you said that this is not the way we do it in America, and this went too far.
Yeah.
So you said this group was different, and they broke away from the regular protesters. Do you think this was still a group that was motivated by what the rest of the protesters were motivated by? They just got out of control?
No, there was definitely a group of antagonizers there. I think some of the people that didn't come there for violence got caught up in it. But there was a group that came there for violence. I mean, you could tell because I saw a ball bat that had ball wire wrapped around it. They had glass punchers with them. When they busted through that glass, it was a glass puncher that busted through that glass. That's why it sounded like a gunshot. They had clubs with them. They had repelling gear. There were some people there was in full riot gear.
Yeah.
We hadn't seen that in any Trump rallies. In the hundreds and thousands of Trump rallies, literally thousands of Trump rallies we've seen, we have not seen violence break out like that. Now, I do think there were some protesters that got caught up in it, but there was agitators there that was designed to do just that. And I don't know who's responsible for it. I'm not saying it was Antifa. There's people saying it was Antifa. I don't know if it's Antifa or not. Yeah. We haven't done a debrief on it yet. So it was definitely a group of agitators that came there for a fight.
Yeah, and you know what bothers me about that is that there were the same accusations during the spring during the Black Lives Matter riots. Everybody said that, it's Antifa firing everybody up. But then, you know, the response was always that and I've said this on the show several times today, the response was that, well, then the actual protesters should point those people out and turn them in. They shouldn't join in and do anything.
Right.
I kind of feel the same way. You know, we were, if you're on the right, if you were protesting the election, if you're a supporter of the Republican Party or the president, we should have been the ones saying, hey, no, stop those guys.
Agreed.
That's not doing it, because regardless of, and I've said this many times too, regardless of whether or not there were agitators there, just because somebody does something doesn't mean you have to jump into the Capitol too and start throwing things at people.
No, people have to take responsibility. I agree. Mm-hmm. Casey, I agree, but I think what happened here is the party split. There was a bunch of people from Oklahoma. I talked to them,
sure.
and I talked to them afterwards, and they were already, some were back to Baltimore, some bought a plane ticket, and they were already flying back, some were in their vehicles driving back.
Yeah.
And when there was, as I said, the officer said they broke away. So the regular protesters kept walking, and this group went in. And when they stormed the Capitol, it wasn't like the other supporters could be there to stop them. But it doesn't make any difference, because at the end of the day, we're all responsible for our own actions, full stop.
Yeah.
And it got out of line, and what ended up happening is a young lady that was in close proximity to me got shot, and her life is over. And the way I've understand it is that she was a veteran. She was a 14-year she'd served in the military for 14 years. And I didn't know, but I will tell you this, that we were being assaulted from the front door, and I truly say that we were being assaulted from the front door, and they made it a two front battle, which we didn't have the bodies to do that. We barely had enough people to take care of the front door, and so when they went around to the speaker's lobby and was trying to come in that way, we got thin in a hurry. And a situation was going to get very difficult, because there were still a lot of members and a lot of staff on the House floor at that time when that other mob tried to come through through what we would consider the back lobby. And when they broke the door, or they broke the glass, and that young lady came through there, that lieutenant, a lot of people were going to debate what he should have done and what he couldn't have done. It doesn't make any difference. The fact is that he was trying to protect us and protect himself, and he had decided to draw his weapon. And if you never had to draw your weapon and fire it at a human being, and especially in self-defense, and then unfortunately take someone's life, you lose part of yourself too. You're not the same after that. And I don't care how many times that has happened, you're still not the same. And so his life is forever changed. And unfortunately, that family, that young lady, their family's life is forever changed too. And what came out of it? What good did that happen? And as I said before, and I'll say it again, we can debate better in this. This, I get being passionate in it. I'm as passionate an individual as anybody knows. I mean, I'll stand my ground, and my wife says I'm bullheaded. I just say I'm determined. But there's also a different way that we can approach things too. We need to learn to disagree and not be angry at each other. I wake up every single morning. You've heard me say this before, Casey. I wake up every single morning. I say, love the people, love the call.
Yep.
And these ones that we were about ready to get very confrontational with, things were going to get very ugly with, I still love them, but it doesn't mean I wasn't going to defend myself. And what took place wasn't out of hatred on our part, but that officer that had to discharge his weapon and unfortunately take that young lady's life was doing what he thought was best at the time. And what happened then is that crowd that was behind her dispensed, and they went someplace else, and we could focus once again. Instead of fighting two fronts, we went back to only making sure we secured the front door. Mm-hmm. And I know that guy, I don't know if he'll ever be able to come back to work or not. I talked to him several times throughout this ordeal before that taking place, and actually I talked to him right afterwards too, and I hugged him, and I said, brother, you did what you had to do.
Yeah.
And it's an unfortunate situation.
Very much. Representative Mullen, please hang on the line here. I want to ask you about the after effects of this are going to be like when it comes to dealing with the political aspects of this. We'll take your phone calls as well. We're going to talk more to Representative Mark Wade Mullen. 918-879-1170 is the number here. I'm Casey Bartholomew, sitting in for Pat Campbell. It's 918. You're listening to Talk Radio 1170, where Tulsa comes to talk.
Talk Radio 1170 in your home. TalkRadio1170.com and the Talk Radio 1170 app.
923, Talk Radio 1170, where Tulsa comes to talk. Thanks for tuning into the Pat Campbell Show. My name is Casey Bartholomew. I am sitting in today. Be with you until 10 o'clock. That's when Jeremy Poplin comes on. 918-879-1170 is the number here. On the line, our guest, Representative Mark Wade Mullen, for the second day in a row. Yesterday was a very different conversation. It was about how the certification for the electoral college votes for Joe Biden was going to go. Now we're talking about a riot. If you're looking at the pictures of the people trying to break through the door of the congressional chambers, the guy in the white shirt with the beard is your representative, Mark Wade Mullen. And you also said Troy Nels out of Texas was there as well. Representative Mullen, what do you think the ramifications of this are going to be? Is this going to make even for a greater divide, or is this going to cause Congress to look at each other and say, we need to work together here?
You know, for those that haven't ever went through this, they don't understand that it's going to take about 2 days or 3 days for it to really set in. Because when we came back to the floor, you kind of heard some of the same rhetoric. Some of it was toned down.
Yeah.
But I think every time you've seen this country go through a situation like this, we've always came out better on the other side of it. And I hope this is the time that we all take a look in the mirror and we take a deep breath. And we go, you know, all right, we're better than this. And I think Congress will do that too. I really do. I think we're going to move on in a stronger fashion. And that doesn't mean we're strong. We'll be very, very passionate and about our issues and about our true differences, political differences. But we can do it in a more civil manner. And because we all share some blame in this. I mean, from the media to the right to the left,
sure.
We've been all fanning the flames for 5 years. And this is what it's come to. I hope, I know for sure I am. I'm going to be taking a deeper breath, and hopefully I can set a better example. I'm not going to say I'm always going to be perfect, but I'm sure going to be trying.
Well, as long as everybody tries, I think that's what the country might be looking for right now. Now, when it was done, when you guys all got back together, because the work of certifying the election was still in play here. Was there any conversation about, because it seemed like when everybody got back, like it looked like Vice President Pence was just flat out mad. And we got that impression from a lot of other people as well. Were there any conversations about enough, let's get this done, no more of the objections, no more of the debate, let's get this done and let's move forward with the job that we have to do here and move on. Was there any conversation about that?
Yeah, there was definitely some of the conversation going on. I think for a lot of us, though, we were at the edge that we wasn't doing this for political purposes. We were doing this because we're still objecting because of our constitutional right to do so and our obligation to do so. But we did what we had a conversation about was let's tone it down. Tone it down. Let's not go there. And I really do believe that a lot of them did tone it down, but they were still pretty harsh words.
Yeah.
That's what happens in a debate. But you didn't see a whole lot of finger pointing from either side. You did see some, but not much. That's what's got to change. Let's be very passionate about our issues. Let's debate those issues. But what separates us from other democracies is we can do it in a civil manner, and that's what we have to do.
And let's hope that feeling holds. Now, there's people online here want to talk to you. Who's the caller here, Carly? That
we've got
on?
Robert.
Robert, you're on the you're on Talk Radio.
Oh shoot! I just hung up on Mullen.
You hung up on the representative.
I absolutely did. Hopefully, he'll call us right back. Most important interview of the day. But you can talk to Robert here briefly.
Hey, Robert. You called to talk to a representative of the United States government. Instead, you got the fill-in talk show host. What would you like to say? And if we can get Mullen back, by the way, we'll bring him on.
Okay. I just want to make a couple of quick points.
Okay.
the conservative movement needs to be ready for what's coming up next. A few years ago, we had a president, George W. Bush, and then when he left office, the liberals just tarred and feathered his reputation, just destroyed him because of the economy. And then to this day, when the Tea Party, remember them? And then the liberals destroyed them, and they did the IRS after them, and they destroyed their reputation. Do you remember how the Tea Party was just literally went from great down to, like, these are troublemakers and disbanded? But we all need to be ready for the next move that the Democrats are going to do when they have total control of the House, total control of the Senate, and total control of all the media, and that includes the electronic media, the Facebook, the Twitters, and stuff like that. The conservatives will be lucky to have any voice whatsoever to get out. But I thank Mr. Mullen for his service, and keep spreading the word. But we better be ready, because they'll be coming for us.
All right. Thanks for calling Talk Radio 1170.
And Mark Wayne Mullen is back.
Oh, hey, Mark. Sorry about that.
Carly hung up on me. Yeah, that's what happened.
I did.
I hate when she brings her own politics into what's going on.
I know. She's so got mad. See, we're better than that, Carly. We're better than that.
Sorry.
You know, the caller has a legit point. And what he was saying is not is truly. I mean, that's true. What he was talking about. But we understand what's going to happen now, especially now that we lost the Senate in Georgia and those two Senate races. We understand what's happening, and using the word worry probably isn't the correct term, because we are extremely concerned. The conversations of already today and yesterday, during the Electoral College vote, was talking about how are we going to have our defense now. The Senate was our last line of defense. Now where are we going to head to? And I think we still got to work through that. It makes it very difficult when they control the White House and both chambers. It makes it very difficult.
Well, and there's a lot of people worried about court packing and tax increases and Green New Deals and things like that. And we just hope that the left is willing to work with the right. They talk a good game, and the right gets blamed a lot for everything that's wrong. Now that the ball's in their court, let's see what they're willing to do. Representative
Casey,
Mullen,
thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for standing up yesterday. I know you helped a lot of people, and seeing you represent Oklahoma like that was heartwarming, to say the least.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. Representative Mark Wayne Mullen, who was there yesterday and gave his story. Your phone calls are next, 918-879-1170. That's 918-879-1170. I'm Casey Bartholomew, in for Pat Campbell, 930 on Talk Radio 1170, where Tulsa comes to talk.
Log on to talkradio1170.com to check out all of Pat Campbell's podcasts, powered by the law offices of John M. Dunn.